tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellison. Thank you for joining me on this Monday morning. A little cloudy out there, but I think it's going to clear up. We had some interesting weather over the weekend as well. Very unexpected storms yesterday that I was not even aware of. But then again, it was the weekend. So I am delighted to have on as my guest this morning Mark Mix, who is the president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. He also serves as president of the National Right to Work Committee. Mark, good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Meg, good to be with you, and hopefully you got through, obviously you got through the storm okay up in Wisconsin over the weekend.
Yes, yes, they weren't too severe. It was just somewhat unexpected because we were going out on the lake, and then all of a sudden we heard thunder, and we thought, all right, we got to turn back, and got a little wet, but that's what happens when you're on a lake in the summer in Wisconsin.
There you go.
Well, Mark, so I want to start out by for our listeners that are not as familiar with what right to work is, if you could provide an explanation about it, because it sounds sort of, I don't know, it just sounds like a no-brainer. Everybody should have the right to work, but that's not necessarily the case. And so I'd like for you to at least start out by defining it and why it's important here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely, Meg. The right to work principle is very simple. All the way back when the federal government was doing work back in the 1930s and 1940s, labor policy became a major issue at the federal level, and the federal government imposed a whole book of federal labor policies on the states across the entire country. And in 1947, after some experience with this federal policy that gave union officials dramatic powers over workers, they decided that they had made, it might have gone too far, and they made some changes in federal law, and they allowed states by affirmative vote to pass what are known as right-to-work laws. And right-to-work laws are very simple. In fact, if you look at the statutory language in Wisconsin right now, because Wisconsin is one of the 27 right-to-work states across the country, it is basic protections for individual workers as it relates to union activity and union membership. I mean, first and foremost, no worker in America can be forced to formally join a union as a condition of getting or keeping a job. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1963 created that that exemption, saying that workers didn't have to formally join a union in order to work, in a case called NLRB versus General Motors. But they did say that workers could be forced to pay up to 100% of union dues in order to continue working or get a job. And so that's the basis of forced unionism. It's a federal law that was imposed on the states, and it's been tinkered with at the federal level and the state level for many years. And Wisconsin, of course, in 2015 passed a right-to-work law, which simply said you cannot be fired from your job for failure to tender dues or fees to a union as a condition of getting or keeping a job. And it's a really simple law. Like I said, it applies in 27 states. It doesn't do anything to stop workers from joining unions. In fact, if workers want to associate with a union, they can do whatever they want. They can have the union speak for them, and obviously they have to get a majority of their coworkers to do that in a particular workplace. But it doesn't stop anyone from joining a union. It doesn't stop unionization at all. What it does do is it gives workers individual rights as it relates to holding union officials accountable with what they do with their money. And so Wisconsin in 2015 and a couple of states after that are now right-to-work states, and obviously the battle in Wisconsin during the Walker years was a pretty significant battle over both public sector unionization and, of course, the battle over right to work in 2015. But it is a very simple law. It protects individual rights, and we think that's the right policy for Wisconsin. In fact, we think it's the right policy for the country.
So why are there – who stands to benefit or gain? You know, the obvious answer is big union or union bosses. But are there companies – in Wisconsin that are opposed to right to work, and why would they be?
Yeah, in fact, there's one company that kind of led the opposition to the right to work law passage in 2015, and that was the Michaels Corporation. And obviously, there is one co-owner of that company that's asking for the support of Wisconsin voters as they go to the polls on, I think, August 9th. Is that right, Meg?
That's correct.
The primary
yes.
date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that company, the Michaels Corporation, was probably the leader in organizing opposition to passage of the right to work law in 2015. They have a unionized company and a non-union company, and we actually, our Legal Defense Foundation, represented one of their employees out in Colorado who was fired because he did not pay union dues. And unfortunately, the company and the union out there, the Laborers International Union, LIUNA as they're known shortly, they had a worker fired because he wouldn't tender dues or fees, and they said he had to pay full union dues, and that was a violation of federal law. We actually won a U.S. Supreme Court case arguing on behalf of an individual employee from Maryland, a case called Beck versus Communication Workers of America. And while it still allowed workers to be fired for failure to pay some fees to a union, it said that no worker could be forced to pay for politics or organizing or lobbying or those types of activities that are unrelated to the contract negotiation. And the Michaels Corporation wouldn't even grant that. So the union demanded that he be fired. The Michaels Corporation fired him. We filed a lawsuit. We ended up getting a significant settlement for the worker, got lost wages. And interestingly enough, Meg, this is kind of the irony of the whole thing. We got $91 back for him that was a union dues deduction in his final paycheck after the company had fired him. They took union dues after they fired him. Add insult to injury. And that was back in 2015. And so now I know as politics, the wheels of politics turn. I mean, I think Tim Michaels is now indicating he supports right to work. We have sent him a candidate survey program. We survey all the candidates running for statewide office and for federal office across the entire country. And we ask them very simple questions. I mean, the question that Tim Michaels has in front of him right now from our organization is, would you support, continuation and support Wisconsin's right to work law? Yes or no? I mean, it's a very simple question, yes or no. He's saying publicly, I guess, or his spokesmen are saying publicly, spokespeople are saying publicly that he supports right to work now. But we would like him to answer the survey yes or no. And I think the people of Wisconsin need to know where he stands. Obviously, Lieutenant Governor Clefish is a strong supporter. She was there behind Governor Walker and when he signed the right to work law in 2015, and she has advocated that she wants to support it. And basically, the issue twofold. One, individual freedom for Wisconsin workers, and secondly, the economic benefit that comes from right-to-work laws. We know that manufacturing jobs and businesses looking to invest and grow or site, they want right-to-work states. And Governor Walker was clear on that when he signed the bill, and I think the evidence has been pretty clear that is benefit. And it certainly hasn't hurt anyone in Wisconsin except for the union officials, to your point, Meg, who have a very nice deal. When they can force you to pay them for the right to work anywhere, that's a pretty good business model, and we think that they ought to be held accountable. And the way to hold them accountable is give workers the power to choose whether or not they want to support the union.
Well, what I find curious, again, is that despite the fact that Mr. Michaels has declared he's a Republican, he's a mega donor for a number of candidates, he's a long-time contributor to different Republicans, why he would take, or why his company would take a stand that sides with unions. And I mean, I guess what I find to be, and obviously we probably have some listeners, I know we have listeners that are members of unions or that have in some way benefited from unions, but I guess my concern is that Mr. Michaels and his campaign, they're not being honest about Michaels construction support of this. Well, I should say that Michaels construction opposition to right to work, and they're not being honest about their partnership with unions. And I guess, in your opinion, why would that be that Michaels Corporation would be, or I should say, Tim Michaels and his campaign would be so? They wouldn't be transparent about the relationship.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of construction companies across the country that are unionized and have union construction, union members that work for them. I think Michaels has a non-union company and a union company as well. And interestingly enough, Meg, only about 12% of all construction workers in America today are unionized. And one of the benefits of a company having a union contract, and you have to look no farther than what Joe Biden is trying to do here in Washington, D.C., spending literally trillions of dollars and saying that the only people that can build new roads and build build under federal contracts of $35 million or more have to have a union contract. That means that 85-86% of all the workers in the construction business and their companies and their employers can't bid on federal jobs or jobs that have this federal money that's coming, your money, Meg, that's coming from Washington. Well, actually, it's not your money; it's your great grandkids' money, but your future great grandkids' money. And so, that's one of the benefits of having a unionized construction project. It allows you to compete in a very limited market when government entities, whether it be a state entity or a local county entity, when they're doing government public works, they often say because of the power of unions and their lobbying power, and boy, no state saw it better than Wisconsin. And in fact, that Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to have statewide bargaining in 1959, and Governor Walker, to his credit, stood up to him, back in with Act 10, and basically, if you look back and talk to the people that opposed Governor Walker on Act 10, and I'm sure there's still some people out there that are mad about it, but if you're a taxpayer in Wisconsin, you understand exactly why Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clefish had to do what they had to do, because financially they had to save money, and the state was in trouble. I forget what the numbers were, but it was like billions of dollars in financial trouble, and then the savings from Act 10 and from just putting a leash around the power of the government unions, the teachers union up there with their health insurance program they were overcharging taxpayers. I mean, there's just such a great narrative and story. And Tim Michaels needs to just answer the question. I mean, we would like him to answer it to us because we have an obligation to our supporters in Wisconsin. I'll let them know who has answered the survey, who has not answered the survey, whether and how they answered it. Do they believe that they should support Wisconsin's right to work law? Yes or no? I mean, he understands what it is. There's no question. His campaign staff understands what the question is. It's a very simple question, very simple law. All he needs to do is say yes or no. And, sometimes talking to the media is an easy way out, particularly if it's a campaign spokesman. They tend to say what they think people want to hear. We want to see it in writing and have him commit to protecting Wisconsin's right to work law.
Well, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. The other thing, too, and I'm talking with Mark Mix, who is the president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, as well as the National Right to Work Committee. So in our remaining time, Mark, it seems to me that Tim Michaels has a problem which appears to be a conflict of interest. He's part of this family-run business that benefits from government contracts and has ties to unions, yet he claims that he's an outsider. In all of his ads, he's talking about he's an outsider, not beholden to special interests in Madison. And it appears to me that it's the exact opposite. And I don't know how he gets out of that, because of if he has a vested interest in how well his family business continues to do, how can they continue to have government contracts and have these ties to unions?
Yeah. Well, what I think what we need and what all voters need, whether it be Wisconsin or Virginia or California or New York or wherever, they need transparency. They need to ask those hard questions, and they need to get real answers, and they need to hear it from him directly. And I think if Tim Michaels will talk to the Wisconsin people about this and allow others like our organization to get an answer about where he stands on this important issue, so we can talk to supporters of ours about it, I think that's the best recipe. Those are difficult things. And obviously, public service is a place where many people who have jobs and careers and have businesses, they help by being public servants. But it's important that we know where they stand. And you're right, Meg. I mean, there are questions that rise up when someone that has this type of involvement. And, of course, union officials are very interested in this. They've got their money and their power and their influence is out of all proportion to their numbers and their membership, for sure. But that's a function of them having this ability to force workers to pay them dues or fees in the 23 states that don't have right to work laws yet. So I think what we need to do is continue to ask the question of all the candidates running in Wisconsin. Rebecca Clefish has answered the Right to Work survey 100% in support of Right to Work. She says she will protect Right to Work law, the Right to Work law in Wisconsin, if given the chance to do that and confronted with that issue. And so I think the other candidate needs to stand up and say the same thing, and he has to put it in writing, and that makes it a little more
official.
Concrete, if you will. Right. So we're looking for that, and we hope the folks in Wisconsin will continue to ask him these questions.
Well, Mark Mix, thank you for joining me this morning. I appreciate all your work, and I mean, no pun intended, on Right to Work. And God bless you for all that you're doing to hold elected leaders' feet to the fire and to fight on behalf of the taxpayers here, not only in Wisconsin, but in the United States. So thank you again for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful day.
All right, Meg, thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to go to a break, and I'll be right back we'll go right into the 8:30 news, followed by your calls on feedback, 715-845-2155. A lot of topics to cover this morning in the second half of feedback on WSAU.